20, how many years? It's been a few years, 20-something, 22 years ago. So today, though, with Father's Day on us, I want to talk to you about a praying man, the Holy Joe, if you would. How many have heard that term, Holy Joe, by the way? Really? So it's kind of a different term for you? The Holy Joe is someone who's a goody two-shoes. Have you heard of goody two-shoes? Okay, well, it's kind of along the same lines. A goody two-shoes, usually people are trying to put you down. Same calling someone a Holy Joe, same thing. But today, the power of a praying man is the message. The power of a praying man. Yes, I'm gearing towards dads in particular, but men in general as well, because we need praying men in this country, in our homes, in our families. We need them. I appreciated this past hour. We got together at 10 o'clock and had some testimony sharing and some praying for each other. We need that. We need homes of prayer. Mark Twain, he said, when I was a boy, everybody know Mark Twain? He was a famous writer. He wrote what? Huckleberry Finn. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in just 7 years. Another man said, fatherhood is pretending the present you love the most is a lime green tie. Okay, how about this? Fatherhood is one who carries pictures where his money used to be. We can relate to that, men. And then, of course, this simple one. The older I get, the smarter my father seems to get. Amen. Can you relate to that? I think a lot of us can. I'm not talking to you teenagers right now, but as you move out of that, you begin to raise your own families, you can appreciate more and more your mom and your dad. My dad, growing up, made me do crazy things. You know, when it was time for church, there was no choice in our home. We went to church. When the doors were open, we were there. That was our home. Sunday morning, Sunday school, even Sunday evening, even Wednesday evening, we had prayer and Bible study together. And we were there. Crazy stuff. My dad taught me to not talk back to mom and do what she said. Crazy stuff like that, amen? My dad made me do awful things around the house, like mowing the lawn and doing a good job at it. Worse yet, my dad, when I had my first car, he made me buy my own petrol, take care of my own maintenance, my own insurance, and the like. Any of you other kids relate to that? And he made me responsible for my actions. So yes, I grew up with some crazy stuff in my home. But you know, I believe that any male of a species can become a father, but it takes a man to be a real dad. That's what I want to talk to you today about. More than anything, we need praying dads. Praying dads. Let's read our verse here from 1 Timothy chapter 2 together. Can you read that with me? You see it? Good. Ready? I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now this instruction here, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, this isn't referring to so much of a posture. You know, when you pray, you have to lift up your hands and then you'll be heard. It's more of a attitude, though, how we approach God in prayer, how we come to Him. And to see a picture of what our attitude and heart should be in regards to prayer, I'm going to have us all take a look at the Lord's Prayer this morning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in verse 9. And once again, I'm going to ask you to say it with me. In fact, just go ahead and stand where you are. And let's recite the Lord's Prayer here on the screen above me. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, my Lord, for your word to us today. Lord, I want to lift up the men in this place, the dads, and even the other young men that are here with us. For one day, there's good chance that they will also be leading a home themselves and be dads also. Help us to see the heart of a praying man, the attitude, and how we are to come to you. I pray that you would stir in us, Lord, and just sharpen and strengthen each dad here this morning. Give us your power and your strength and your conviction to go out from this place and lead our homes with a godly desire and a godly passion and be men of prayer in our homes. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat, please. Again, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus here is teaching his disciples. He was explaining to them how to pray. This isn't so much just a thing that they were to memorize and just recite over and over again in the morning, later in the day, and just say the Lord's Prayer over and over again by memory. It's more, he was showing them an attitude and the heart with which they are to come to God in prayer. It's not a formula, and if you just say it this way, then it's, you know, God's going to hear then. So the question this morning is, what kind of a man is a praying man? I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be this kind of man. But what kind of man is a praying man? Let's take a look piece by piece at our Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. First of all, we see a praying man has a relationship with the Creator, his Creator. He starts off saying, "Our Father in heaven." That's it. Our Father in heaven. But think about what he didn't say. And he could have said many things here. He could have said, "Oh, great God in heaven. Oh, great Creator of all the universe, and holy and righteous are you," and all these things are true. But he starts off saying, "Our Father," because he's showing that knowing Jesus, having a relationship with God through Jesus, is about a relationship with our Creator God. That's why he did it. The word that's used here for Father is the word pater. That is P-A-T-E-R, pater. Elsewhere, there's another word that's used also. Take a look at Galatians 4, verse 6. Paul is speaking about who we are in Christ, what God has made us to be. He says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Okay, so what was the first Greek word that we looked at? Started with a P? Pater? Okay, what is that's for Father. What is the word for Abba? It's Abba, okay? So we have Abba and we have Pater. And here they're put together, Abba, Pater. And the word for Abba is a very personal and a tender title or appellation that would be used of a child in referring to their dad. And so Paul is here telling them, we cry out because of what God has done. He's made us sons. We cry out, Abba, Father. This is so cool. I hope you realize it. I was sharing at 10 o'clock years ago. I was doing some Bible study with a Muslim friend that I had met and just trying to share with him some things. But one thing that was very difficult for him to understand and get was the idea that God is one that you can know and personally and have a relationship and you know, have this kind of father-son relationship. No, God was God, and he was one to be feared, but to have a personal relationship where you can come boldly before him, this was a hard concept for him to grasp. But this is what God has done.
This is what he has made for us. Abba, Father. We see in Hebrews 4:16, the writer here says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." This is God's throne, the King, the Master, God. "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we're urged to go before God. And don't hesitate. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because we already read that we go to him because we cry out, "Abba, Father." And we have been accepted in the Beloved, and we are born again. We are adopted into the family. We are sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. That's who we are. That's who God has made you to be if you have a relationship with your Father through Jesus. You need to have a relationship. Fathers, dads, the most important thing I urge you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you been born again? Many of you have. I know many of your testimonies, and I've gotten to know you over the years, and I appreciate that. But maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship. My friend, you aren't truly living until you are made born again by the Spirit of God. Come to Jesus. Come to him in faith and trust him today. Don't wait. Come today. Dads, let's be careful in our homes not to present an impression to our family that church is just about fulfilling our weekly duty and to keep mom happy and off our backs. A lot of dads give that impression. Go to church. Come on, mom wants us to go. Well, guys, that is not taking the leadership of your family. That is not being a man of prayer. We need more men who love and follow the Lord as their own Father. We need men who have relationships with their Creator. So first and foremost, have a relationship with the Creator. That's what a praying man is about. It's not about just reading your prayer books. I've met some people and their faith is pretty much dictated by this is what you pray and there's the book of prayers and you just follow the formula exactly. It's a relationship. And you come boldly before the throne because you are accepted in the Beloved and you go to him as Abba, Father. Do you understand how good that is? I hope so. The second thing, though, about a praying man is a praying man acknowledges God's holiness. What's the next thing that Jesus says? Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. So a praying man acknowledges the holiness of God, but in so doing, he acknowledges his lack of holiness. Without God, we have no chance. Without God, we cannot be made holy, and God cannot have anything unholy in his presence. We cannot go to heaven without being holy. And so by acknowledging the holiness of our God, we are also acknowledging our own lack of worthiness and holiness. However, we also acknowledge our desire as born again children of God who go to him as Abba Father, those accepted in Christ now, we acknowledge our desire to be as he is because he's our Father. We want to be like him. And that's what a born again believer, that's their attitude and heart. They want to be like their Father. You remember growing up when you were just a wee little thing, a toddler, and you saw your dad, those of you who had dads, and most of you did, I'm sure, but you saw your dad and your desire was to be like him. When I grew up, I want to be just like my dad. I did, and I know many of you did as well. And that's our heart and that's our attitude as born again believers, Christians, who call God Abba Father. 1 Peter 1, Peter says this. He says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Okay, this is Christian growth and Christian sanctification. It begins with the work of the Spirit of God in us that draws us to salvation and makes us born again and gives us a new heart, a heart that is different. Yes, we read in the Scripture, if anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar. And we understand that, and we take that. But we also know that we are different and we are changed. We are new creations, and we cannot and will not be content and happy to continue in sin like we were before we were regenerated, before we were made new. We can't. If you can, there's a problem. And maybe your salvation is just a profession that you made, and it's not the real deal. And there's plenty of that. Jesus says, many will come to me in the last day and stand before him and say, Lord, didn't we do many good things? He says, I never knew you. And so there's going to be plenty of that. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. And when he comes into your life and when he gives you a new heart, things change and our desires change. We are not perfect. We will not be perfect until we are in heaven with him. But we change. And that's just the simple, basic truth of what a Christian is. The things we used to like to do, that becomes less appealing to us. Less appealing because we realize that that is not like our Father. I want to be like Dad. I want to be like my Father, my Heavenly Father. Because He's holy, our new natural instinct is to be holy too. Mr. John MacArthur, he states, holiness essentially defines the Christian's new nature and conduct in contrast with his pre-salvation lifestyle. Guys, if our lifestyle is nothing different than what we were before we came to Christ, there's a problem. There's an inconsistency there. And the world can see that. Last week I had mentioned to you the two things that have eternal significance. One is living a life conducive to the good news of Christ, and the second is sharing Jesus with others. One's your testimony, and one is your verbal witnessing. And these are things that we do and can do that have an eternal impact. But it starts off with this desire that we want to be like our Father. Be holy as he is holy. Be sanctified, set apart, not continue to wallow in the filth of the world because we're following our Father. We have a different path, a different desire now. There was an article that I had saved. If anyone wants to read the complete article, just ask me. I can send it to you real quickly. But this article was called, Has Authenticity Trumped Holiness? Has Authenticity Trumped Holiness? It's a good title. It's a pretty long article, and you have to read it to glean everything from it. But the writer, Brett McCracken, discusses the modern trend in Christian circles to equate being authentic with being messed up and broken. So to be authentic in church is just to really be one who sees yourself as truly messed up and broken. And so that's really authentic. And the heart's desire is to avoid being hypocritical. Younger generation, they don't like to see hypocrisy. But the problem is so many have a misunderstanding of what hypocrisy is. He says here, by focusing on brokenness as proof of our realness and authenticity, have evangelicals turned being screwed up into a badge of honor, its own sort of works righteousness? Has authenticity become a higher calling than, say, holiness? So they want to avoid the hypocrisy that perhaps they've seen, maybe in their parents or in their old stodgy churches of yesteryear. But they have a wrong definition of hypocrisy. Their understanding and idea of hypocrisy is to live out of conformity with how I really feel inside. And that's not hypocrisy. In fact, to live what I believe in spite of how I feel about it, that is called integrity. That is being obedient and bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, even despite how I feel. And too many people are led by feelings. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by... You know, that's the same thing. That's a saying that we walk by faith, we don't walk by feelings. And we have so many people living in feelings. But authenticity is acknowledging and realizing the truth of God's word and living by it, regardless of feelings. Feelings come and go, and they can lead you astray, and they can drive you nuts. I've shared this testimony before. When I was a teenager, I had a difficulty. All teenagers go through some difficulties. We all share unique problems, but mine was struggling with this thing called anorexia. Do you know what anorexia is? Raise your hand if you know what anorexia is. It's not bulimia. Okay, I just grew to where I hated to eat food. And I was starving myself to death, basically. Okay, I don't know if anyone else in here has ever struggled with that. They say typically this issue is a female issue. I'm just lucky, I guess. I don't know. But it was a serious issue for me. And it consumed me. And my feelings were constantly leading me around and lying to me, saying that you still see yourself as overweight and heavy, and you feel better when you don't eat anything, and to eat stuff makes you feel lousy. Do you see how my feelings were lying to me? And it wasn't until finally I got some good Christian counsel. Same thing my parents were telling me, but sometimes, for some reason, we have to go hear it from somebody else. Kids are funny that way, aren't they? We have to go hear it from somewhere else, and then we say, Mom, Dad, why didn't you say that? I was trying to, but they weren't ready to listen. So the guy was telling me, you're believing the lies. You're not living your life on truth. In fact, he didn't tell me all about the dangers of not eating and what anorexia is. He said, Ken, you're on the throne in your life, and you are the center of your life, not God, not Christ. And it's all about you, and you're letting your feelings dictate and rule your whole life. And so I had a week of this, not the same thing over and over, but I had a week of listening to him. And after that week, I agreed with him that I'm believing the lie and that I want to believe the truth now. And I chose to believe the truth. I chose to believe God and the truth about this condition I had. And I went home and I confirmed to my parents, yes, I'm believing the truth. They were relieved and thinking everything's all good and great. But let me tell you something, and I didn't tell them this at the time to not scare them, but my feelings didn't change right away. I still had the same old feelings. And when it came to food, man, it was hard. And it took me a while to just have those feelings change. But I was changing my direction, and I did say, I'm choosing the truth now. Forget the feelings. And then after about a year, maybe two, my feelings were in alignment with what was true. And I start to enjoy food a lot. And I enjoy it today, as you probably know. I enjoy my food. But my feelings are now in alignment. Now, sometimes we have a lot of junk thinking up here. And it may not be that problem, but you have your own junk. And are you going to believe God and live your life by what is true despite your feelings? That's called integrity. Because your feelings can be wrong, but God is not wrong. And so choose to live by God. And as you walk with Him and you seek holiness and you seek Him, you're going to find that your feelings eventually start coming around to agreeing with what is true and right. That's where victory is. That's where joy is found. But men, we need to seek holiness. Don't look at holiness as just, oh man, that's impossible. I'll let pastor be holy and I'm just a guy trying to live my life. God expects holiness from all His children. Make that your goal because your Father is holy. You want to be like him. Number three, we got to move. Praying man desires to be about God's business. Verse 10, Jesus says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A praying man desires to be used by God in his life. There's a neat verse I like in the Bible. Colossians 3:25. Say this with me. "And whatever you do, do it heartily and not to men." Guys, this is a good verse to memorize. Because as Christian dads who call God Abba Father, our desire is for His will and purpose to be done in this world, in our lives, in our family, even in our work. God, I want to live for your purpose, not for mine. Life isn't about just living, breathing, making some money, leaving it all behind when you go. God put you here for a reason. Live for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily for the Lord, not to men. Some of you may be unhappy at work. You don't like your boss. I'm so sorry about that, but perhaps what you need is a new boss. Amen? Don't go into work tomorrow and say, "I'd like to fire you." That probably won't go over well. But what you can say is, "From now on, I'm going to work as if I'm working for my Lord, my Father in heaven. I'm going to do it for the Lord." Chances are your boss will be happy with your performance too. Chances are, if he's not, that's his problem. But you're not trying to please him anyway. You're wanting to make your Father, your Abba Pater, proud of you. Do it for him. Do it for the Lord. You live, work, and breathe for his purposes. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Here on earth, in my life, in my home, as it is in heaven. And four, a praying man daily seeks the Lord. A praying man daily seeks the Lord. Verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Part of this daily bread is spending time in fellowship with Abba Father through the word and through prayer. You can't get away from it. He gave us his word, his love letter. He wants you to get into it, know it. He wants you to come boldly before that throne because he's accepted us. We are sons of God. And you need daily bread. When you wake up in the morning, let your first thoughts not be to go grab your phone and see what problems are in the world today, but wake up and say, "God, I want to commit my day to you. I want to pursue holiness today. Help me to be a faithful husband, faithful father, and to do your work." Make that your prayer. It doesn't take a long time, but it's starting off your day on the right foot, in the right way. Daily bread. How many times do you eat every day? Anybody here eat only one time a week? You know, you do the camel thing and load up and that'll get me by for another week. No. Maybe today, Father's Day, you're going out to lunch or dinner and it's a big one and you're going to be so full. But tomorrow, guess what? You need to eat some more because you're going to be hungry. Sometimes when you eat so much one day, you're more hungry the next day. Be careful of doing that too often, eh? But it's daily, and God knows we need daily. Just coming to church and hearing a sermon and being charged up spiritually isn't good. It's great to come together and we eat together like a church family. That's good too. But tomorrow you're going to have to feed yourself some. And being a mature Christian is truly one who is able to take care of their spiritual nourishment. Don't eat the junk food. There's lots of junk out there. So we need Christians that are discerning between what is junk and what is healthy, good Christian food. There's a lot of junk. Stay by things that are Bible-based, Bible-focused, not man-focused, not health and get rich and focus on your own self and just your own enjoyment and happiness. Serving and following the Lord is enjoyable and happy. But make sure it's Bible-based and focused daily. Number five, a praying man is patient and forgiving. Yikes. Verse 12, the prayer is, forgive us our debts. How? As we forgive our debtors. These two statements are linked tightly together. Oh God, forgive us all of our sins and where we failed. Oh, and God, forgive me just like I forgive others who sin against me and fail me. So ask yourself honestly, what if God forgave you just as you forgive people? Listen, our salvation is not based on us. We got to be careful that we don't give that impression out. You're saved only if you make sure you write your list and forgive everybody that you've ever held something against. And maybe you'll be saved then. That's not what this is about. But forgiving other people is a sure sign of God's salvation having come to us. Because you have tasted of His salvation, His love, and His forgiveness. And it's got to show in your life. It's got to rub off onto others. So one who says, yes, I'm a Christian, but they hold resentment, anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness in their heart, you got to ask, have they truly understood and tasted of the goodness, grace, love, and forgiveness of the Heavenly Father? Because it doesn't look like it. It doesn't appear so. And this is what Jesus is saying. Forgiveness is so important to God. Jesus said in Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is not optional. So dads, when it comes down to our own children, our calling is to continue to love and forgive them. Amen? You leave this place today determined that you will love and forgive them. Now, sometimes love isn't always just giving everything they want, and it's not always just coddling wrong behavior, and there's a time that we have to say, no, you can't do that. Not in our home. Not in our house. But our calling is to continue to love them and to show forgiveness. And in so doing, as we do this, we are training them and modeling to them the love of our Father in heaven. And Lord willing, they'll grow up in our home and they'll see and they'll better be able to understand and comprehend a heavenly Father that shows love and forgiveness. Someone who's had a father at home that is mean and hateful, it's a lot harder for them to relate to a heavenly Father who is loving and kind and forgiving. It's hard. So fathers, our role is an important one. We don't want to present a stumbling block to our kids coming to know Christ because of how we treat them. Be patient, be forgiving. And finally, one more thing. A praying man acknowledges the spiritual battle. He said in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one. Who's the evil one? Who? Satan. You can say it out loud in a church too. Satan. And what does the evil one want to do? What? Seek and destroy, devour. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not playing games. He's not trying to just trick you and make you say something naughty and say, ah, ha, ha, I got you. He's seeking to devour. This word, devour, literally means to drink down and to swallow up in entirety. And in my mind, when I think of that, drinking down, swallowing in entirety, I think of like a great white shark or something just as large. I mentioned before on one of Gretchen and my diving trips, we got up close and personal with an orca whale, a big, large one, and he swam right by us, and I have to backpedal a bit to get away from the guy. He's so big. And he opens up his mouth as he's going by me. He's just saying hi. He wasn't looking to attack me. And so he opened up his mouth and he's making the funny noises, kind of like a giant dolphin. I think they are dolphins anyway. But, you know, that to me, that guy could have swallowed me in one big mouthful if he so felt like it. So I'm asking myself, in my black suit with my little fins, do I look like a seal to him? I hope not. But that's what it means to devour, to consume. And that's what Satan is out to do. He's not playing games. And he wants to destroy your family, your home, your marriage, and your children. To consume, to literally drink down, to swallow up in entirety. And many of our kids have been swallowed up in this world with the world's values, with the world's ethics, with the world's philosophies, and the like. And dads, we need to acknowledge this spiritual battle. Acknowledge it. And be prepared and defend and take the role to protect our home and our family seriously. We need to be men of prayer. Pray for them. Pray for our family. Pray for our wives. Pray that God would look after them when we're not around. Pray for our marriages, that Satan would have no foothold in our marriage to divide and to bring dissension, to bring anything that would drive a wedge between the husband and wife. Pray for them. Pray for your kids. Many of them go to schools and they're taught all the time by the world. They're not being taught biblical values and virtues all the time. You need to pray for them and step in for them and talk with them and be a leader in your home. A praying man has a relationship with his Creator. A praying man acknowledges God's holiness. He wants to be about the Father's work. He daily seeks the Lord. He is patient and forgives much. And he acknowledges the spiritual battle taking place for his family. With every head bowed and eyes closed, where you are, seated right now, I want to do something. I want to pray for you men. I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up. I want to ask God's special hand to be upon you, to strengthen you, to give you a conviction to take the role that He's given to us seriously, to give you strength beyond your own abilities, and to serve Him in this way, to be a praying man. All fathers, would you please stand where you are with your head bowed and eyes closed? Fathers, appreciate you men. Some of you are young dads with young families. Some have older kids. Some are grandfathers. And these are all different stages of our fatherhood, but our responsibility is still there. Other young men, I want to ask you to stand. Maybe you're not a father. But I want to pray for you too. If there are other young men among us, would you please stand where you are with these fathers around us right now? One day, Lord willing, He may call upon you to be a father and a dad yourself. And this conviction starts now. It doesn't magically happen when you become a dad. But you have to know now what God wants for you and the responsibility of being a dad. And so I want to pray for you as well, young men, that you would have this kind of godly conviction and be a praying man, a man of prayer. Know the power of a praying man. And the rest of you sitting, be praying for your families. Be praying for the men in your life too, that they would stand, that they would be men. Anybody can be a father, but we need godly men to be dads in our homes. Let's lift up our men. Let us pray together. My Father in heaven, I personally thank you for calling me to be a dad, going on 25 years ago. And Lord, I remember the feeling and the anxiousness. There was much I didn't know and I would learn, but But Lord, I knew it was a serious responsibility and that overwhelmed me. But thank you for encouraging me and leading me and gently loving me as well through it. But I pray for all of us dads at this time that, Lord, we would be godly men. Men, Lord, who have a relationship, a real relationship with our Creator. Men, Father, who seek holiness because our Father is holy and we want to be like Him. And our homes need holy and righteous dad leading them. Lord, we want to be men who want your purpose and your will to be done, your work to be done in our lives. And whatever we do, may we do it for Him, for you, not for anybody else. Give us conviction to daily seek you, to come before your throne of grace and make our requests and petitions known and to glean from you in your word. May we be patient and forgive much, for we have been forgiven so much. And may we also acknowledge the spiritual battle and take our roles to protect, to defend. Be with these men, Lord. Give them strength above their own strength. May they not rely on the flesh, but on the Spirit, because without it, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to please take a seat at this time. We want to have just a few announcements before we'll be dismissed.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. If you have your bulletins, let's just look.